May the Lord bless each one this morning. Don't forget to tune in your radios to 108. Keep you dry. I'll still be able to hear. 108. We're going to start the service off this morning by singing that little chorus. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will enter his Jesus Christ, and may we hold that name with the highest regard and highest esteem, far above everything else and far above all. Lord, that our affections and our thoughts would be toward Thee, O God, full of grace, compassion, mercy and truth. Lord, we ask You, Lord, this morning, Lord, that You'll remember those that are in bereaving at this time, Lord, all the McKinsey family, Lord, and those that's connected, Lord, we pray that You'll bless and comfort each and every one. Lord, we just want to say thank You also, Lord, for the salvation of our brother Billy, Lord, who's gone on to be with You. We praise You and give You thanks that, like the hymn writer says, we can stand in triumph o'er the tomb and sing in triumph o'er the tomb because, Lord Jesus Christ, You left behind You an empty grave and You give promise of the resurrection from the dead. We thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that You are the risen living Saviour, and we know that You said that You'd go on to prepare a place for us that where You are, we could be with You also. And Lord, we believe that this morning, and we have joy in our hearts, Lord, for we, Lord, too, want to see You, Lord. We want to be with You, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as the Apostle John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord, while we toil here and while we wait on your coming, help us to be always about the Father's business, doing good. And Lord, following your example, Lord, how that you went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We pray, Lord God, that the signs and wonders and miracles will follow us that believe in you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And you'll anoint us with the Holy Ghost, with fire and with power, Lord, to continue on the work which you demonstrated while you were here. Lord, your word declares that you are the same yesterday, on today, on forever. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to be like you. Help us, Lord, to reflect you. Help us, Lord, to say the things that you would say. And Lord, when we're challenged, help us, Lord, to react the way you would react. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. We pray, Lord, now, Lord, that you'll cover us afresh with thy precious blood. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for saving each one of us here today that's saved. And Lord, we pray and remember the loved ones in our families that's not yet saved. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll convict their heart of sin. Move upon them in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I think especially of those that heard the gospel, Lord, these couple of days past, Lord, at Billy's funeral. Lord, many men and women were under conviction. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that even while the voice of the preacher would be silent, that the Holy Ghost will continue, Lord, to speak on and to continue to deal with hearts. And Lord, to bring and lead men and women to repentance in the precious name of Jesus Christ, that they'll call upon your name for salvation and be delivered from the snare of the fowler. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. I ask you, Lord, that you'll bless the speaker of thy word this morning. And Lord, especially if there are any, Lord, listening in, maybe this morning or at another time, we pray, Lord God, that the word of God will be like a mighty hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. We pray that you'll break up the fallow ground, Lord, that the word of God, like the seed, will find good earth to which to put down roots. In the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. We ask you now, Lord, for your blessing upon this service. Bless each one. We think this morning, and we remember Roger Caudry this morning, Lord, has got the news of throat cancer. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you'll touch him, Lord. Lord, we're still asking, Lord, for healing. Lord, we still come to you, Lord, and Lord, perhaps there is times, Lord, when people don't get healed, but Lord God, your word tells us to evangelize the world, Lord, that the gospel must be preached to every creature. And Lord, we believe healing is part of the gospel. And Lord, even though all men might not believe, but Lord Jesus, still it must be preached. And Lord, we just even ask you, Lord, now for a brother, Lord, still believing that you're a healer and that you're able to touch and able to deliver. And Lord Jesus Christ, we know that nothing is too difficult for thee. We ask you, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you'll increase each and every one of our faiths. And Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll help us, Lord, that when we come against circumstances, that we'll not consider fear, but Lord, we'll just believe in faith in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I ask you now, Lord God, that you'll bless this service for your own glory, that you'll receive glory, honour and praise in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to sing a hymn from the Redemption Hymn Book, number 559. Hear the Lord of Harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? You know, it is a narrow way to follow the Lord Jesus. Indeed, it is a narrow way. Praise the Lord.
Hear the Lord of Harvest.
sing another hymn from the redemption hymn book. First of all, the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride, fullness divine, and thee I see, wonderful mound of Calvary. I think it's 699 in the redemption hymn book. After we sing this hymn, we'll hand over to our brother John.
I'd just like to take a reading from 1 Chronicles on chapter 12 this morning, and as a brief introduction, I'm going to read verse 16 and then I'm going to skip to verse 32 and then we'll come back and look at a couple of verses in the chapter. And 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 16, read these words. And they came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Well, just ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Realize, Lord, that your word is forever settled in heaven. We know, Lord, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away, your word remains the same. And we thank you, Lord, this morning we have a God who is steadfast and sure. We have a God who's never changed. Lord, we thank you. We can say you're Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us now as we turn to your word. And we thank you, Lord, we can turn for your word for comfort, for exhortation, Lord, and for instruction in these times. And Lord, help us, Lord, as we would approach this subject, Lord, to bring out the things, Lord, that you want brought out and to say the things you want said, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we commit ourselves to you now for your honor and for your glory and for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning I want to say, I hope you can hear me all right, but I want to say this morning, this is a big subject, and you know I have given myself plenty of scope, talking about understanding of the times. You could never cover it in one service, you could never cover it in one meeting, but you know this morning I want just to whet your appetite, as it were, and just want to leave a few things with you, because I believe what we have here in these portions of scripture that we have read, we have something that is very relevant, and we have something that we can relate to. And you know, we know we're at the end time. We're at the end time today. And it's very interesting when I read this portion of scripture about the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Men that understood what was going on in the world that they lived in. And you know, today we're living in strange times, aren't we? There's never been a time like it is today. There's never been a time perhaps upon the face of the earth like this time. And we see in the scriptures where the Lord talked and Paul the Apostle talked about perilous times coming on the face of the earth in the last days. And here we have a group of people, and their objective, let me say this, their objective was to come and join themselves to David. They came to where David was because they wanted to come to where they would have a man who had leadership, a man who knew what to do. And you know, we're told in verse 32 that the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. You know, today people are wondering what to do. People of the world today doesn't know what to do. Now, they're following instructions. They're following a lot of instructions. And you know, never before in the world was there as many instructions for people to follow as what there is today. And you know, it's good to have instructions. And we read also about these men here. They said that they knew what to do and what Israel ought to do. And they said that the heads of them were 200. And all their brand was at their commandment. So these wasn't only men that was coming to be with David, but these was men that could receive instruction. Now, receiving instruction is good, provided the one who's given the instructions has got the right information. Receiving of an instruction is good, provided that it's coming from the right source. Now, when we look at the world today, and we see a lot of people getting a lot of instructions and taking a lot of orders and carrying out a lot of rules and a lot of regulations, but what are they following? They're following sense. What was these men following? Well, you know, we're told that whenever these men came to join themselves to David, that David went out to meet them. And David went out to meet these men that was coming to him. And in verse 17 of 1 Chronicles 12, you'll read these words, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye become peacefully unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye become to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. So what David was saying to these men that was coming to him, look, are you coming to join with me in sincerity and in truth? Are you coming to me for help? Are you coming to me for to help me, to help you? Are you coming to me because you have a conviction to come? Are you just coming to me because you want to betray me? Or you're not really coming in sincerity, you're not really coming in truth, but you're only coming to see what you can get for yourself? But there was a man there, and the Bible says in verse 18, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, now maybe not saying his name right, who was chief of the captains. And the Spirit came upon him. You know, I love it in the Bible when you read about the Spirit coming on him. Now listen, when this Spirit come on him, it wasn't the Spirit of Antichrist. For there's two spirits today. There's the Spirit of Antichrist and there's the Spirit of Christ. And there's the Spirit of Antichrist in the world today, and it's giving instructions to people, and they're running after that Spirit, and they're following that Spirit, and they're giving their lives to that Spirit, and they're under the instruction of an Antichrist Spirit, and they don't realize it. But there's another group, hallelujah, and they're under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And they're following the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is giving them instruction, is giving them comfort, is giving them peace, is giving them rest, is giving them detailed information that they need to do at this time. And they're men of understanding of the times. They're only men of understanding because God has revealed something to them. But this man spoke, I believe he spoke under the inspiration of God. And listen to what he said. And he said to David, he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side. Hallelujah. Thine are we, David, and on thy side. You know, you're either on the side of God today or you're on the other side. You're either belong to Jesus today or else you belong to the devil. You either belong to the one who loves you and give himself for you or else you belong to the enemy. Now these men identified, they come down and they wanted to be with David. They didn't only want to be with David, but they wanted to identify with David. And why did they come? They came because they had a conviction. Why did you come to Christ? Why does a woman come to Christ? Why does a man come to Christ? A man only comes to Christ, or a woman only comes to Christ because they've got a conviction. Hallelujah. Thank God for a conviction. Thank God for the voice of God that calls a man. Thank God for the voice that will call a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. A conviction. And these people came down because they had a conviction. They meant business. Why did they come? God put it in their heart to come. And Jesus said, no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. And here we see these people coming, but listen, there's something else about this statement that this man said. He said, thine are we, David, and on thy side. He was willing to go into the battle with King David. He was willing to die for King David. He was willing to serve King David. He came, he wanted to be near. He wanted to join himself to that group. He wanted to come and join the people of God. And he said something that's wonderful. And this is part of the reason why I believe he was coming also. He was coming because he was looking for peace in his heart. And he said to David, he said, thou son of Jesse, peace. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. And then you'll read in verse 18, it says, then David received them. and made them captains of the band. You know, didn't Christ receive you when you come? Didn't Christ receive the sinner? When we came to Christ as a sinner, Christ received us. He never turned us away. He received us just as we were. But listen, it's very interesting what this man said. And I believe he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He could look at David and he could say, "Thou son of Jesse, peace." You know, we follow a man today, the son of David. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say today there's no peace outside of him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, but he's the one that gives peace. He's the one that gives rest. And here these men are saying to David, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you, David. Peace be unto you. Peace, peace be unto you." You know, there's people today and they put their faith in a scientist. Now that, I'm not against scientists. I'm not against a vaccine. But you know, today these people here was coming to David and they realized they saw hope. They saw a man who had a deliverance ministry. They saw a man and they said, "God's with that man. God's that man's helper." They told David, they said, "God's helping you." Now, if we join ourselves to David and God's helping David, God's going to be helping us. Who's helping you this morning, brother? Who's helping you this morning, sister? I want to tell you, God's helping you. God is your help. God is your refuge. God is your strength. God's the one that's in control. You know, these people came down and that's the testimony they spoke. And they said to David, "David, peace be to you and peace to them that are with you. Peace to your helpers." You know, today there's a peace on God's people that no one else can give, only God. There's a peace on the people of God that God gives and God alone gives. And I want to say, whenever God gives you peace, nothing can take the peace of God from off you. You know, I'm reminded of that wee verse in Philippians, whenever Paul wrote to the Philippian church, and he said unto them, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." I maybe said that back to front. "In prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And he doesn't end there. He goes on to say, "And the peace of God, the peace of God that passes all understandings, will fill your hearts and minds." You know, today, if you listen to the news, you mightn't get much peace from it. And you know also, people today are talking about the mental health. People today are talking about their minds cracking up. You know, just the other day there was a report on the news, and it was about the increase in, what do they call them tablets? Antidepressant tablets. You know, they can't produce them quick enough. There's so much of an increase. People are going to the doctor. People are going to the nurse. People are going to the chemist. And they're filling their pockets. They're filling their handbags. They're filling up their cupboards with antidepressant tablets. I tell you, the Christian doesn't need an antidepressant tablet. He needs the Holy Ghost. He needs the power of God. He needs the peace of God. You know, whenever these people come down to King David, they didn't come down and say to David, "David, you better go down and get yourself a tablet. You better go down and get yourself some drugs from the drugstore. You better go to the doctor and you better get yourself a prescription." You know, today, and I don't accuse anybody, but where's people putting their hope today? Are they putting their hope in an antidepressant tablet? Are they putting their hope in a man that is called Jesus Christ? You know,
people today have great faith in what the Sanders say. What does the Bible say about the Sanders? It says, pay no heed to Sanders, falsely so called. Pay no heed to them. But, you know, well, if you have to take this coronavirus, if you have to take this job, don't worry about it. I want to tell you this now. God's in control, no matter about corona, or no matter about the job, or no matter about anything. God's in control. And you know, God was in control back in the life of King David, and he was in control of the men that joined themselves to him. It was the host of God. Now, they came down there, you know, they came down there with a conviction, I believe, but they also come down because they had a hope. They had a hope. You know, brothers and sisters, this morning we have got a hope. And we have a hope, and it's the greatest hope. We have a hope of eternal life. But we have a hope in Christ today that only Christ can give. And you know, these men came to David, and David received them. Isn't that wonderful? All these men that came, you don't read if any of them been sent away. Oh, I'm glad that when you come to Christ, he doesn't send you away. He doesn't turn you away. You know, there's another verse here that I want to leave with you. And I'm watching the clock and I'm moving on. You know, this subject is so big. I'm not even capable of covering it. I'm sure there's other men here who could cover this. There's other men who could cover this better than me, the understanding of the times. But we're living in the last days, aren't we? And we're living in perilous times. We're living in bad times. These men come down, and when these men come down to David, they had security. How many people today doesn't have security? How many people today doesn't know if they'll ever have a job to go back to? How many people today doesn't know if they'll be able to make the two ends meet, as the old saying is? Many people today doesn't know if they can able to keep their house, keep their home. And many people today are distressed. And many people today are looking for hope. And many people today are looking for answers. The world today is full of uncertainty. The world today is grasping at straws. Like a wee hymn said, the woman sang the song and the man sang the song and they said, never again will I grasp at a false rainbow's end. You know, today the world's grasping or running after a false rainbow's end. But Jesus is standing there all the time. He's there all the time, but we him said, waiting patiently in line. The woman said that her life was shattered and she was clutching to things with no depth and things that could never satisfy. But there was someone waiting all the time that could free her and deliver her from sin. These men come down to David because they had a conviction, but also they realized there would be security with David. Why would there be security? Because God was with him. Because God was his help. You know, there's no security in any other thing this morning, only God. There's no security outside of Jesus Christ. There is no other security. There's no security outside the Holy Ghost. There is no other security. There's no life. You know, I said to the woman just the other day, we're at the end time and Jesus is coming again. She said, and this has happened to me before, she said, don't say that. Don't say that. I says, why? Why would I not say that when it's true? Well, she says, I want my life to go on, and I want my life to go on, and I have plenty of things still I want to do in my life. I says, well then, what you're telling me is then, when Jesus comes, your life's going to be over? She said, I said that. I said, no, I never said that. I said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. I said, you know, whenever Jesus comes, my life doesn't end. I've got eternal life. I'm looking for him to come. I want him to come. He's my security. I'm glad he's coming again. You know, it's wonderful the people that will say to you, don't say Jesus is coming again. I don't want to hear that. People doesn't want to hear the truth. People doesn't want to know that the Lord's coming back. But I tell you, he's coming back. We know he's coming back. And very soon. And I want to draw your attention to verse 22 of the same chapter. And it says, for at that time, day by day, they came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. And you know, I just love that. Day by day. Day by day. You know, there's a wee hymn in the Redemption Hymn Book, and it's called Deeper Yet. It's number 411. I don't know if we all know that wee hymn or not, but I think it's a great wee hymn. And it says in there, day by day, hour by hour, blessings are sent to me. But for more of his power, still I would enter in. It says, deeper yet, into the crimson flood. Deeper yet, under the precious blood. I'm glad that people are coming to Christ today in the midst of all this. People are still coming to Christ. People can still come to Christ. And that's what the Lord said, day by day. And day by day, people came. And day by day, people kept coming to the Lord. You know, what does that speak to me? And I know they were coming to King David here, but listen, King David was a type of Christ. And he was a deliverer. Christ is a deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only deliverer. And day by day, what does it mean? That's your daily bread. He's your daily bread. You know, people today want to talk about everything, but they don't want to talk about the Lord coming back. You'll find that. And they want to talk about the weather. And you know, the weather is very much a big topic. And it's talked about time and time and time again. And you know, this coronavirus has taken over. And it's overtaken the weather in conversation, hasn't it? It's over the globe. Corona. And you know, you're meeting people and they're saying, oh, you better attend, or you better adhere to these rules. You better keep your social distances. Why? What is wrong with people today? I know we don't go out to break the law, but you see what's wrong with them? There's a fear on them. A fear has come on people. And they're afraid. People, you know, in general are afraid to die. You know what I said to the woman the other day? I said what a man had said, and I saw it on the YouTube. A man said, I don't know why we're so concerned about keeping older people living when they're killing a baby, an unborn baby in the womb every second. And you know, I just looked it up the other while there, and I don't know if it's all true or not, but it showed in the internet there has been over 8 million abortions from the start of this year in the world. Now, I don't know if that figure's true or not. But I know it's shocking if it is true. It's shocking. The amount. And just in our own parliament here in Northern Ireland, the past week or the past few days, they've been trying to rush through a law there that it's easier to get an abortion here. For young women to have an abortion. To do away with an unwanted pregnancy. A baby that they don't want. And life has become cheap in that sense of the word. But thank God here people were coming to David, and they were coming day by day. Now, my time's moving on, and I want to move quickly. I don't know where the time is going. But going back to time and times, Jesus spoke in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16, if you'll just turn with me. And there's two verses here. I just want to leave them with you. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and they were desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They came to Jesus and they said, we want to see a sign from heaven. And in verse 2, Matthew 16, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. It says, "O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times." You see, people want to know about the weather, and they can discern the weather, but can they discern the signs of the times? Can they discern that we're living in the last of the last days? Can they discern that Jesus Christ is coming back again? And you know, when you tell some people the Lord's coming back, the first thing they say to you, "Don't say that. You know, that's Antichrist spirit. Don't say that." The Bible says, let it be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The Lord's about to come. And the Lord said to these Pharisees and scribes, "You guys can discern the weather, but can you discern the signs of the times?" You know, if our forefathers heard some of the things that we are going through today, they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. They say, "I don't believe you." But it's the end time. And what do we see? We see a people who's really programmed. And we see the governments, and no disrespect to the governments, but the governments has become like dictatorships. And what has the people become? The people has become like robots, where they can't think for themselves. They just have to get instructed what to do, and they'll do it. And you know, it's like a man said one time, and a good evangelist said one time, when the mark of the beast comes out, they'll run, they'll knock you down, they'll run to get it. Now, well, we know God's still in control, but what are they doing today? Well, if you don't have your job, you'll not be on the airplane, you'll not be leaving the country. And in fact, if you don't have your job, if you don't have the job, if you don't have the injection, you might no longer have a job to go to. What is it? It's discrimination against your rights. It's, "We're going to tell you what to do and you'll do it, and if you don't do it, too bad." And I said to someone the other day, I said, "You know, when they've got the people programmed now, they're already trained. They're trained that when the mark of the beast has come, they'll say, 'Aye, we need it.' Bible says you'll not be able to buy or sell, save he that has the mark. But it also says he that receives the mark is lost forever. He's lost forever. Never can be saved. But thank God the Christian has a mark on him. Thank God the Christian has a seal on him. It's the seal of God. And he has passed from death unto life. And I don't care what the coronavirus wants to do. I don't care what the scientist wants to do. And if they want to jab you in the arm, don't you worry. Let them jab you if they have to. If you say, 'All right, I'm going to get this job,' don't worry about it. God will protect you. You're not depending on a job. You're depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're depending on the one that said, 'I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And have the keys of hell under death.'" Hallelujah. He's alive today. He's the self-existent one. He's the giver of life. Bless his holy name. But you know, Jesus was speaking, and I want to turn to another. These men was asking for signs. They were asking for signs. And Luke 21, Jesus said there was going to be signs. Luke 21, I'm just trying to turn to it. The wind's blowing the pages on me here. Just bear with me. Luke chapter 21, and I'm looking for verse 25. Two pages stuck together. I'm looking for verse 25 of Luke chapter 21. And Jesus is speaking. You know, the greatest speaker that ever spoke was Jesus. And this is what he said in verse 25 of Luke 21, he said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations." Jesus said there's going to be signs. Signs in the sun. Now, I know a lot of us here doesn't believe in global warming. But I believe in it. Now, I may be wrong, but I believe in global warming. I believe it's getting hotter. Now, I may be wrong. I'm not going to make a doctor out of it, but or I'm not going to be contentious with you, brother or sister, if you don't believe in global warming. But I believe in global warming. Why do I believe in global warming? I believe in global warming because there's a verse in Bible in the book of Revelation and says that men were scorched with the sun, and yet they repented not of their evil deeds. I'm telling you now, it's getting warmer. This is only what I believe. But there's a sign in the sun. What's the sign? The sun's getting warmer. I believe that. Look, that's not going to keep you out of heaven if you don't believe it. Or it's not going to get you into heaven because you believe it. The thing that gets you into heaven is God spoke to you and you had a conviction and you repented of your sins and you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. That's the thing that gets you into heaven. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said there'd be a sign in the sun and there'd be a sign in the moon. He said the moon would turn to blood before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he said that sign in the stars. Now you know when the Lord talks about the stars, and I have to move on quickly, the stars can represent the angels. The Bible says that the stars fell from heaven. It's talking about fallen angels. It said that Lucifer was cast out and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That was a third of the angels. But I want to say, though I didn't mention it earlier when I was at verse 22 of 1 Chronicles 12, it became a host that come to David, and it was a great host like the host of God. And I want to say that there's more with God than what there is with the devil. You mightn't think that, but there is. God has got more on his side. God has got more angels than you can imagine. And they're on God's side. And I want to say, God wins this here. God finishes this. And God's in control. Hallelujah. No matter about the devil, or no matter about any of his angels, or no matter what goes on in this earth, God is in control. And God is going to finish it his way. And he's going to come back here and set up his kingdom on this earth. And we're going to live and reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah. It's not good to know. But the Lord said here that and the stars, and upon the earth, what did he say about upon the earth? Distress of nations. Distress of nations. If ever there was a time in our lives, there's never been a time like this where we can say there's distress of nations. Every nation under the sun, every nation in the world is suffering from distress. Every single nation throughout the whole world is under distress. Distress of nations. I said it before and I'm going to say it again. They can't make enough antidepressant tablets for the people who want them. The sales has went through the ceiling. You can't make them quick enough. You know, people has become to rely on a tablet. People have become to rely on an injection. And you know, it may help them, but it's only a short term. Jesus is not a short term fix. Jesus is an eternal fix. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, and no one else had said about these people on the earth. It said distress of nations with perplexity. Perplexity. What does that mean? I'll tell you in my own words what it means. It means no understanding. Perplexity. No understanding. Another rendering for that means deceived. Deceived. Another one is an old saying, you mightn't have heard this one, it's years from I have heard it. The wool pulled over your eyes. Now, there was an old saying years ago, and they used to say, oh, somebody pulled the wool over that boy's eyes, and they sold him that old car, and she was this, and she was that, or she was something else. Somebody must have pulled the wool over his eyes. He couldn't see. He was blinded. You know what's happening to the world? Why? God said he would send them strong delusion, and they would believe a lie. You see, if people believe a lie, they think it's the truth. And if they think it's the truth, they'll swear by it. They'll put their hopes in only one foundation, and Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's the foundation that we need to have. Now you're listening well, and the time is going on. I want to come to a close. I spend a lot of time, so I do sometimes. But listen to this here, and you know, it's such a big subject. Understanding of the times. And you know, I could have sat down and made out a list about the times. And there's a lot of times that is mentioned in the scripture. But listen to Revelation chapter 22. This is what I call the last call. And it's from verse 10 down to verse 12. And this is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking here. The Lord is speaking here. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy, of this book." That's verse 7. But listen to verses 10 through to 12. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." What does that mean, the time is at hand? Well, you know as well as I know, things is about to happen. And he said, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He said, what's written in this book of the Revelation, and this gospel of Jesus Christ, don't you seal it, you open it. You let it be opened. For he says, the time is at hand. What? You know, when the time's at hand, it's about to happen. And you know, if it's about to happen, it usually happens sooner than what you think is going to happen. Can happen. It's closer than you think. You know, some people are saying, oh, the Lord's not coming. The Lord's not coming. Oh, I know, but the Lord not come yet. He not come yet. We not lived to see him coming. I want to say, never say that. He could come this afternoon. He could come tonight before you get to your bed. He could come first thing tomorrow morning. Jesus Christ is coming again. And this is why he said, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, seal not the sayings of this prophecy. Don't seal it, for the time is at hand. And you know then what he goes on to say in verse 11, and you know, this is a strong verse. For whenever Jesus comes back, whenever Jesus comes, this is what's going to be said. Now I believe that people go through the tribulation and get saved, I believe that. But listen, this is what the Bible says here in verse 11. He says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he which is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. Jesus said that. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Jesus Christ is coming again. We have got the signs. I believe we have got the signs. I believe that with all my heart. You know, I'm going to end, and I want to leave you on a note. And you know, there's loads of things I maybe should have said, and I'm sure that you're sitting in your car or you're listening in, and you're saying, John, you should have said, oh boy, listen, that's a great opportunity. But listen, I trust the Lord will take of what I have said, and he'll bring it home to you. And you know, just like whenever you receive the Lord, you know, you don't just receive the Lord, you receive him into your heart. You receive him into your life. And just like these men went down to King, to join themselves to King David, I believe they had an understanding of the times. They knew something was about to take place, and they wanted to be near. They wanted to have security. And they wanted to have hope. And they wanted to follow a man that they knew God was helping. Today, what is Jesus saying? I know Jesus said a lot of stuff here, but I want to leave you with three verses in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is what Jesus said. I'm glad for what Jesus said. He said, come unto me. Come to Jesus. You know what that, what is that, come to Jesus? That's God's invitation. That's God's invitation to the dying world. That's God's answer to coronavirus. That's God's answer to insecurity. That's God's answer to the no-hoper. You know, we read in the papers how that a young man took his own life recently. Someone said the highest suicide rate in the UK is Northern Ireland for young men. Men that can't see a way out. Men that say it's not worth it. It's not working. It's no good. It can't go on no more. But God gives an invitation. What is his invitation? Jesus said, come unto me. And he didn't only just say, come unto me, but he said, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. That means everybody. You know, today the world's heavy laden. There's a burden on them and they're carrying a heavy load. And there's no deliverance for them, as it were. They can get no deliverance. They can get no peace. They can get no rest. But there's one today and he can give peace and he can give rest. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives an invite and he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And he, what did he say? He said, and I will give you rest. I will give you the rest. I will give you the rest. God, this is something that God's going to do. When you come to God, he's going to give you the rest. The rest's not down to you. It's not down to me, brother. It's not down to you, sister. The rest's the part that God does. The rest's the part that Jesus Christ done when he went to the cross. Hallelujah. And then Jesus goes on in verse 29. I'm going to read it and that's going to, I'm going to come to the close. He says, take my yoke upon you. Yoke yourself to Christ. You know there's people in the world and what are they yoking to? They're yoked to the television set. They have to watch it. And they're glued to it. And it's only drama or it's only fiction. But they believe it. They're glued to it. And then they meet their neighbour and they're talking about it. They're talking about what happened. And you know, it was an act of perversion they were watching. It was an act of sin they were watching. Acting is a sin. I believe that. All acting's a sin. Entertainment. You know, I saw a demon once in a dream and I asked him a question and he about the world and about sickness. And he said, what would they do for entertainment if it struck them dead? That's what the demon said to me. What would they do for entertainment? But this world, what has happened to this world? They're perplexed. They're without understanding. They're going down the road to the lost eternity. I tell you, the Christian has hope. The Christian knows he has a hope that maketh not ashamed. I'm glad. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get your understanding from God. Get your understanding from the Lord. Get your understanding from this book called the Bible. That's where you get your understanding. You'll get your understanding of the times in the Holy Scriptures. You'll not get it in the newspaper. Well, you will see what's happening. You will, but you mightn't have the full understanding. God can give you the understanding. And he said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Someone's penned the wee words and says he makes the path go brighter every passing day. He makes the burden lighter all along the way. His will is my delight. Oh, I can't remember it right. His word I now obey, and all the time I'm singing. Glory. Thank God today the Christian has a hope. Thank God today the Christian has an understanding of the times. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. Commit you to the Lord, and then I think the pastor's going to come and speak, and then Tommy's going to come and sing for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, this morning, I thank you for this opportunity that I was able to share with your people. And Lord, I thank you that you said, come unto me. And Lord, I thank you that many of us here, and most of us here, can look till a day when we said, yes, Lord, I came. And Lord, we didn't come, Lord, you called us to come. And you made the way for us to come. But we thank you, Lord, just like you said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Lord, you give rest. Lord, I say, give rest to your people. Give peace to your people. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding fill every heart and mind that will hear what I have said today, Lord. Not because of what I said, but because of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and because of your word that is so true. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, no matter what happens on this earth, no matter, Lord, what we're made to do or made not to do, or what set of rules we're made to follow or not follow. It doesn't matter what the devil can do, Lord. He can never snatch us out of your hand. And Lord, I thank you that you're in control and you're leading the way. Lord, bless each dear heart and bless each dear brother and sister that's here today and that's listening in. Wherever they are, Lord, bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, may you be their peace. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are our peace and you have broken down every wall. And we cast this morning, Lord, all our cares upon you because we believe, Lord, you care for us. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning, and we do appreciate our brother John and the Word of God, and we for the times we're living in. I want to thank everyone this morning for all the cards sent to my home and all the brothers and sisters' homes, and especially for my mom. And I appreciate everyone that sent a card, and appreciate everyone that attended the funeral service or listened in. And you know, there's almost 3,000 now what's listened in on the service on the app. And we just appreciate that, and we know that God's word will not return void until, and we thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate all your prayers over these days, and I would ask you to continue to pray, especially for my mom at this time of bereavement. And you know that we're just glad that my dad was saved and ready to go. And that's the main thing, you know, if we're ready to go to meet the Lord. And we appreciate the word this morning. We are living in strange times, but we have hope. Hope. And you know, my opinion, we need a Holy Ghost injection. If we could get that injection lined up and get them rushed in to get that one, wouldn't it be great? If people would go for the Holy Spirit as quick as they'd go for the jab, it would be great. And I'm glad the Lord's coming again. And in my opinion, he can't come soon enough. Praise God. And I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. Pray for us. I'm going to continue on. As usual, one man told me the other week, he says, you'll need to take a break now. Don't do anything for so many weeks. Take it easy. But the devil never takes it easy. Sure he doesn't. But I'm going to continue on. I'll be speaking tonight at 4:30. And I'm going to do a study. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to do a study on heaven. All about heaven. I never hear nobody preaching about heaven and about the reward and the crown of glory that the righteous judge himself will give to his people when they get over. So pray for us. The Lord bless everyone. I really appreciate our brother Jeff as well playing the pipes. And he said to me, you know, they weren't tuned in maybe as good as he'd wanted them, but I didn't notice it. None of us noticed it. Sure we didn't. It was wonderful. And I want to thank Brother Gary. He did so well leading the funeral. And don't forget, my dad was Gary's uncle as well. It was hard for him. And we appreciate Brother Gary leading the songs and everything. And there's been so many testimonies from the graveside. And there's five different fellows was there that I went to school with. And the Lord was moving on them. And my prayer was that out of it all, somebody will get saved. And it's not the main thing, that a soul would get saved. The Lord bless you. Let us pray again. I know our brother John's prayed, but I feel to pray again. Is that all right? For the comfort and the blessing of God. And then our brother Gary's going to come. I know our time's gone. But let's take a moment to pause and reflect on what we've heard this morning. We've heard the truth from the Word of God. We're in strange times. And our hope is not a scientist, but our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. And Romans says that the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts. And we have a hope that maketh not ashamed. And that hope's the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your precious word. We pray, Lord, you'll bless our brother John. Bless your word this morning to all of our hearts. Ask you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Pray for my mom, you'll bless her. Strengthen her. For all the family circle, you'll bless them and strengthen them. In the name of the Lord at this time. Lord, we know you're the great comforter that sympathizing Jesus now is near. We ask you that we'll know your presence in the days and the weeks and the months that lay ahead. Pray you'll give us strength, Lord, to preach the gospel and to win others to you. Bless every man and every woman in these cars, every boy and every girl in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'll save souls. I pray you'll restore the backslidden. I pray you'll get to thyself all the praise and all the glory that Jesus Christ will be magnified. Through it all, Lord, that you'll get the praise and the glory. Lord, we're looking to you. We're not looking to the science. We're not looking to the corona vaccine. We're looking to you, Lord. And you said, I'm the God of all comfort. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit spread abroad in our hearts for the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, your love and your peace. The peace that passeth all understanding. May it be upon each and every one of us. May the Lord bless thee. May the Lord keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And don't forget to tune in this evening at 4:30. Keep listening to the Word of God. I don't know when the thing's going to open up, but we have to keep on keeping on. As a brother Gary comes, I'm going to say this. Years ago, a man preached a sermon about a name of a man that nobody knew. Isidore McGrindle. I'll guarantee you nobody has ever heard of Isidore McGrindle. And nobody knew of Isidore McGrindle. Do you know why? He never done nothing. And that's why nobody ever knew him. He done nothing. And the whole focus of the message was this: winners never quit, and quitters never win.
Well, that last wee statement was a confirmation for me. While Brother John was preaching, I had been thinking about it, but I took a wee note of it. There's certain people within the Bible, and nobody knows about them. In fact, little people knows about them. If I was to tell you their name, you probably wouldn't know them. And it's for the same reason, and that's what I was actually thinking about next time I'll be preaching along those lines, to speak about them with men that nobody knows nothing about, because nobody knows about them because they've never done nothing. So that was a confirmation. That's true. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a hymn before we leave, or just as we leave. I'm not going to pray again. Our brother Tommy has prayed, and we're going to sing a hymn as we disperse. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. It's number 393 in the book. If you want to join in, 393 in the Redemption Hymn Book. Let's get this. Amen. The Lord bless you today as we sing this here and ask you to go.